Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we approach your word this Easter morning, I just pray that you would speak to us, that you'd open up our hearts and minds. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here today that doesn't know you, that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, as we celebrated Palm Sunday, I mentioned that from the triumphal entry to the cross, there were two questions that were posed regarding that men continue to ask today. The conclusions that you draw from these two questions will determine not only your eternal destiny, but also how you live your life. The first question was the question that the Jews asked when Jesus came into the city during that Passover week. As Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, crowds were spreading out their clothes on the ground. They were spreading palm branches out on the road. The crowd was crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And as the citizens of Jerusalem and everyone that was gathered there that week to celebrate Passover was observing this triumphal entry, the Jews asked this question, "Who is this?" And ever since Jesus has walked the face of the earth, men have been asking this question, who is Jesus Christ? And as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, let me take you to the court of Pilate in John chapter 18. And we'll look at verse 33 and we'll find out what that second question is that men continue to ask regarding Jesus Christ. In verse 33, it says, "Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here.' Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" That's the second question. The first question is who is Jesus? The second question is what is truth? Men have been asking that question ever since Jesus had his earthly ministry. What is truth? As Pilate asked this question, what is truth, you can hear the cynicism in his voice. What is truth? It's a cynic's question. And let's think about that just for a moment from Pilate's standpoint. Pilate was a man of great responsibility. He was a man of great responsibility that found himself ruling in a country occupied by Roman forces. And as a ruler, and as all rulers, I think, find out, is that you see the good and the ugly of humanity when you're responsible for carrying out leadership at that level. That's the cynic's question then. as he was faced with all of the duties of his day, as he witnessed mankind from every aspect, he said, "What is truth?" Obviously, he didn't know the answer. It reminded me of King Solomon in that very same place, in that very same city. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he said, "There is no prophet under the sun." There is no prophet. If you look at society without the lens of Jesus Christ, you end up in a cynic's world. And I think that's where our society is living today. Our society that is living a life absent of truth. Since the majority of society today does not believe in a central truth, our American culture has taken on a philosophy of carpe diem. Seize the day. We always say the beginning of that phrase, carpe diem, seize the day. We don't say the rest of that phrase. Seize the day, put very little trust in tomorrow. In other words, live for the day because you don't know what tomorrow brings. And I think that the majority of our culture today is living a life just for today. Just like Pilate, they take the view, what is truth? So I am going to enjoy today for what it's worth. And I don't think that we should lose sight of the fact that as Pilate is asking the cynic's question, what is truth? He's standing before Jesus Christ, who is truth himself. And as Pilate is standing before Christ, Christ had already spoken the words earlier, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus had already declared that he was the truth. He didn't declare that he was a truth. He declared that he was the truth. He was and is an exclusive truth, an all-encompassing truth. Now, throughout history, men have made claims of some kind of truth. Do this, and you'll get that. And we've seen where men have made claims of truth. But there's something that Jesus did 2,000 years ago that sets him apart from every other person in human history. He rose from the grave. And in fact, before he rose from the grave, he declared that he would die and that he would rise from the grave before he ever faced the cross. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Matthew wrote, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Matthew 17, 22 through 23, Matthew wrote, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful." Jesus predicted his death and predicted his resurrection. He rose from the grave. And on that Easter morning, as the women approached the grave, Luke, relaying the testimony of others, said in verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still living in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He said not only that he would die, he said how he would die, and then he said he would conquer death and would rise again. So what does that mean to us as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday? What does that mean? It means that the resurrection proved that Jesus Christ is an exclusive truth. And in fact, in Romans chapter 1, as Paul wrote the church of Rome, in verse 1, it says this, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And here's the important part, verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. How did Jesus Christ prove that he was the Son of God? He rose from the grave. And because Jesus Christ rose from the grave and paid our sin debt, it also made all of the words that Jesus said, all of his ministry, all of his teaching, true. He proved that he was truth. And in fact, John 1:17, John wrote, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. If you're living the life of a cynic this morning, if you look around and society is not giving you what you want, if you're not finding happiness, contentment, peace, joy, all of those things that we seek through different avenues and devices, let me tell you, you can find it through Jesus Christ because he's the truth. He is the truth. In all of his words and all of his promises and all of his teachings are true and reliable. What does that mean to us as a believer? I picked just a few, but they're an important few. If you look at John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, in which I shall give for the life of the world. He's the bread of life. Now I want you to think about something. If somebody other than Jesus Christ said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven, you would think he was a nut, right? But we don't think that in the context of the resurrection, do we? I'm the living bread. He said that he gave it so that we might have life. Life. Earlier I read where Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's not life one day in the future when we go on to heaven. Yeah, that's part of it. That's life right now. Right now. As we rest in the power of Jesus Christ, as he has proven to us that he is the Son of God, all of his words are true, and that you and I can have life through Christ Jesus. Yes, life for the future, but also life for today. As Jesus interacted with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said in verse 13, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never, never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will come in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." He doesn't say that you might be satisfied. He said that you would never, never thirst. As I was preparing for my sermon, and as I read these two groups of verses together, it reminded me of a hymn that I absolutely love. The reason why I like the hymn Satisfied is because it compares, as you think about us talking about Pilate in a cynic's view, it compares the nothingness of society compared to Jesus Christ. And I want to read the hymn to you because I think it makes appropriate sense in this particular context. It says, "All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within, feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul, sad's cry. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him, who my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I am now saved." That's why we're here this morning. Is that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I can have satisfaction. Why? Because he said so. He's the bread. He's the water. He satisfies us. It's why Paul said that he had a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the promise of the gospel. Another one of those great promises from Jesus is in Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's a blanket statement, isn't it? If we come to Jesus Christ, he will give us rest. He then goes on and says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will," doesn't say might, "you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does that mean to us as a believer? If you're a believer here this morning, if you have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that you can have satisfaction for daily living. Every day we can find peace, joy, contentment through the power of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, if he's not your Savior and Lord, and I'm not talking about intellectual acknowledgement in a historical figure, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you coming to Jesus Christ and you giving your life to Christ. You turning your life over to Jesus. Jesus is in charge. You subject yourself to the kingship of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you get the promises of the King that was proven to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you will find rest for your souls. Because the Son of God, the King of Kings, has given us that promise. Now, you may say to yourself, well, preacher, that sounds great. I want that. I want it. I want rest. What do I got to do for it? You got to give up. In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus Christ determined the rules of discipleship. Disciple meaning that you're a follower of Christ. He determined the rules. After all, He's the King, right? He determines the rules. And what's the rule? Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What are the terms? You gotta surrender. And you don't just surrender today at this moment in time. You surrender daily because that's the terms that Jesus made. He said that you have to take up your cross daily and follow Him. His terms. See, the victor always gets to determine the terms. The victor always gets to determine the terms. And Jesus Christ, as victor over death, as victor over grave, as victor over the penalty of our sin, determined those terms, and He said, daily. Daily. His truth is true. I have to take Him at His word. He rose from the grave. He's victor over the grave. And I have to daily follow Him. That means I've got to be serious about my worship. I have to be serious about my Bible study. I have to be serious about walking with Him. I have to be serious about leaning on the teachings and truths of Jesus Christ. It's not my life anymore. And I'll tell you right now, and it's a promise, I can guarantee it, as someone who fought doing this job for years, when I surrendered to what God was calling me to, I found a peace that I never had in my life before as a believer. I'd been a believer since 1976. God had made me a Christian in 1976. And I fought my calling for years. And then I surrendered, and I would never surrender this up again. Because this is what Jesus has called me to, and Jesus has called you to be followers of Jesus Christ, and that means a daily surrender, a daily giving up, and I will guarantee you, not on my words, but on Jesus's, if you surrender and you follow Him, you will have a life that is indescribably better than the life that you have right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, all you have to do is ask for forgiveness of sins. Recognize Him as Savior and Lord. Believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of His blood. Ask Him into your heart, and He will accept you right now in His kingdom, and you will find rest for your soul. Now, that may be something that you may have known for years and years, but I want to ask you, in context of your life, as you examine your life right now at this very moment, as you look at your life and you seriously ask yourself this question, am I living that type of life? You may have known that's the method, but have you been really living a sacrificial life to Jesus Christ? Are you in the kingdom of Christ? If that answer is no, you can change that right now by asking Jesus Christ in your life. And He will wash you and He'll make you new because He is the truth and all of His words are true. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just thank You for the saving power of Jesus Christ. We thank You that You make us new through the blood. I just pray, Lord, that if there's someone here who does not know you today, that they would accept you today as Savior and Lord. I pray, Lord, that we as believers might examine our life and ask ourselves this question, am I dying daily? Am I letting Christ be king of my life, or am I still clinging to the false promises of society? I pray, Lord, that we'd surrender. We'd surrender to your kingship, we'd surrender to your truth, that we would embrace all of your words and your teaching is true. In Jesus' name, amen.